This morning, I want to continue the explanation of the ten powers. Those ten powers are that of Bodhisattvas, ten powers. One is the devotion to the Buddha's teaching and no attachment to anything else. The second one is increasing one's devotion. The third is expedient ability to instruct people and alter their conduct. The fourth one is understanding what people think. And fifth is satisfying people with what they want. And sixth, cessation of exertion. The seventh one, including all vehicles or all teachings without bounding, without giving up Mahayana way, Mahayana way. The eighth one is mysterious power of showing the appearance of the Buddha in every world, in each pores of the body. The ninth is making people turn towards Buddhism and leading people to perfection. The last one is satisfying all kinds of men with even a single phrase. Those are ten powers. I explained yesterday the first one and the second one and the last one, satisfying all kinds of men with even a single phrase. Eighth one, the mysterious power of showing the appearance of the Buddha in each world, in each pores of the body. And the second one, and the first one, devotion to the Buddha's teaching and no attachment to anything. This is our practice, which cannot compare with any other activity we have or any other effort we make. So, and all that we do or all that we think is not absolute itself. So there is no reason why we should attach to it. The only thing we should observe it as the absolute, it's the emptiness, you know, which is absolute in its true sense, which is quite different from somethingness. All what you do is somethingness. And you cannot understand emptiness. So that is why it is called emptiness. And emptiness is in usual activity, is not the goal of practice or purpose of activity or aim of activity. This much I explained. The only way to realize the absolute is through our practice, through in its true sense. And I explained the eighth one, the mysterious power of showing the appearance of the Buddha in each world, in each pore of body, of the body. That is actually, you know, Zazen practice. Another, you know, this is actually the explanation of our skantaza. When you know, practice Zazen in its true sense, actually you are Buddha himself, and in each pore of your body, you have so many worlds. And in that world, each of the worlds, there is Shakyamuni Buddha. This is the explanation of our skantas. And when you, you know, practice our way as the one unified activity, mind and body, and each part of your body, from the end of your nail to the tip of your head, top of your head, and I always explain how you do it, you know. That is to have right posture. Having some strength here and having perfect mood here. Like this. and you feel as if you are trying to open your arm a little bit. This way. And when you do this, on the contrary, you know, your arm open. You open your arm, and on the contrary, you pull your neck, pull your chin, as if you are supporting something on your head. And you have strength here, especially when you inhale. In other words, your inhaling comes to the bottom of your tummy. At that time, you feel as if you are opening your arms. Actually, it shouldn't move, but and you should pull your neck. And when you exhale, without losing your power here in your tummy, or putting some more power in your tummy, you exhale. So your mind pervades all over your body, and all the parts of your body are participating one activity. So we say Gotsu. Dogen Zenji says in his instruction, Gotsu toshite zajous. ゴツゴツとして means like a mountain, you know, which one your body should be like one big mountain. And he said, think non-thinking. Think non-thinking, you know, when you do this, you cannot think, you know. So, but your mind pervades every part of your body. So, that is think, non-thinking, not usual thinking, in terms of good or bad. But your mind is everything, and it's every part of your body. When you think in that, when you practice that in that way, figuratively speaking, the manifesting the Buddha. In each word, in every pore of your body. That much I explained yesterday. Will you bring me that blackboard? Mm-hmm. that stage, you know, you assuming you are doesn't practice this is perfect, you know. That stage is different. You need to practice. Fight is relative. Each part of your body, or mind, or you say mind or body, that is relative unified with substance, which substance, the reality unified with substance. Where you have one soul unity of practice. This is, this is blackboard. This is black. This is white. As you see. But for me, this is white and this is black. Black, you know, signify the obstacle, and white signifies the reality. This is night time, this is daytime. Night time you cannot see anything, but daytime you will see everything in its relative sense. But absolute, you don't see, you don't hear, you don't think. That is the absolute. So, when you one way, your practice, one is black, or here, when your everyday activities become one with black, then that is the stage when a manifestation of black or the absolute, this is the realization of wood and black. Although there is black and white, those are two sides of the one coin. If you see from front, it may be the black. Black. You see all black, but to make some distinction from this, we use this symbol. But this is actually black, and this is white, and this is the real. Buddhism, those states is the state you acquire by the practice of skandha. And there also some difference. In the way of practice, in Jindai and Soto. Soto puts emphasis on distance, and Jindai puts emphasis on this one. So Jindai puts emphasis on enlightenment, practice. And we put emphasis on the each part of the body, which participate with the practice of the absolute. So that is why we, we concerned about mudra or posture. Or every form or manner of your activities. So we put emphasis on white in everyday activity or each part of your body or mind. But Rinzai puts emphasis on the black, which is the perfect enlightenment. But perfect enlightenment, realization of perfect enlightenment is possible when each part of your body, work together and attain oneness of each part, every part. But there's no difference when you attain. And now, here I must explain the third power, the expedient ability to instruct people and alter their conduct. This is, this thing. Expedient ability. In Mahayana Buddhism, expedient is more important, rather than the original way, or black, or the absolute. Without, relative, the absolute does not mean anything. Emptiness, just emptiness. And actually, when you say just emptiness, that is idea of emptiness, not actual emptiness. When we attain emptiness by all parts of our body, that is real emptiness. you know, actual emptiness. When everything exists in its own way, and express the absolute, we call it a true emptiness. So emptiness because of somethingness, emptiness makes sense. So we rather put the emphasis on somethingness or everyday activity. Without sticking to some idea of emptiness. But it is, you know, interesting to talk about emptiness. Whatever you say, that is emptiness. if you have good friend to talk about emptiness, you know, you can talk about the emptiness, whatever you like. Whatever you say, that is emptiness. And you can enjoy the discussion of emptiness. but that is not, you know, the emptiness we mean. But this kind of understanding helps, you know, our study, of course. And we should not say, you know, you should not write anything about Buddhism or talk anything about Buddhism. Whatever you say, that is not emptiness itself, but it is a good expedient or good device to instruct and alter their conduct. If someone is too rigid or someone is too is passing to some idea of emptiness or relative or some kind of teaching, we can correct their understanding by the experience. So whatever the teaching are, those teaching are just good devices. And good devices is very important. And to have power of good devices is one of the important point for us. And to, so whatever you do, that activity should be good devices to instruct people. You should be a good example of example for the people. So, expedient ability. Why you will you have experienced ability aids because you do not think that what you are doing is the absolute itself. You know this is expedient. But this is something which you should do with kindness. With the same mercy. As Buddha's mercy. That is the actual power we have as a Zen student. So, but this expedient or good devices, it's not usual devices, you know. This is the devices, or this is all the activity. Each activity, which we do moment after moment. That is, all what you do is good devices. And to express and the realization of the absolute. In this, when you understand the third power in this way, this is nothing different from the ninth one or eighth one, mysterious power of showing the appearance of the Buddha in every world, in each pores of in each pore of the body. No, the meaning is the same. And I think I explained the fourth one, which is understanding what people think. Satisfying, the fifth one is satisfying people with what they want. When you are doing something with calmness of your mind, with good concentration, without being involved in any prejudice, or without sticking to your own viewpoint, then you know things, you see things as they are. So you know what people want, like Bodhisattva, Avalokiteshvara. So, satisfying people with what they want, this power, naturally will appear. And the sixth one, no cessation of exertion. And this no cessation of exertion take place when the tenth power, when you obtain the tenth power, which is satisfying all kinds of men with even a single phrase. And devotion to the Buddha's teaching and no attachment to anything, You know, when you devote yourself to your practice, you will have the power of understanding through everything and through various teachings, verbal teaching and non-verbal teaching. So you will have incessant practice when you hear, because you see, observe the truth through verbal and non-verbal things. You increase and because you in this way devotion as Buddha. So in this way, back and forth, you will practice our way endlessly. And as Dogen Zen said, without any trace of it, no. This kind of practice will continue. This kind of pure practice will continue forever, endlessly. And this is the power we obtain through our practice. Including all vehicles, all the teachings, without abandoning the Mahayana. In its wide sense, our teaching, in its wide sense, is everything. In its wide sense, in its narrow sense, teaching something which was taught by some sage. That is the teaching in its narrow sense. But in its wide sense, everything is the teaching for us. The color of the mountain, the sound of the river, or sound of the modaka, even a teaching of Buddha, we understand in this way. So, the including all teaching without abandoning the Mahayana. When we understand our way, and when we practice our way, we cannot, you know, whatever teaching you observe, that is our teaching, our Mahayana teaching. So you cannot, you know, abandon Mahayana way, our way. When you have true understanding of our practice, that is including all vehicles without abandoning the Mahayana vehicle. And those are the same power. When we understand our teaching or our practice in this way, actually there is no teaching or no Buddhism, because whatever you do, that is Buddhism itself. But it does not mean, you know, if, you know, everything is Buddhism, there's no need to practice our way. That is wrong understanding. We can only when we get through those, you know, practice, we can see this understanding. At first, this one is a kind of belief, you know. For the beginner, this is kind of belief. And for the people who get through all those stages, it is the comfort, actual comfort. And so, to some extent, when you want to practice Dhamma, it is necessary to have some belief. Understanding of our way. Understanding which complete understanding, so that you can believe in it. When there's no doubt in those explanations of the teaching, you can believe in it, even though that is not, the understanding is not perfect. I mean, not perfect. You understand completely, but when you understand it, you know, completely, you will find out this is just intellectual understanding. So, I have to actually obtain from teaching in its truth, not only intellectual, but also emotional. And until I have no doubt with it, until we can intuitively intuition to know what is our way. Then
That is, in this way, you will extend your way until it comes from here. So starting from here, and you start practicing. And attain this attainment in this process. Where there is nobody. Nobody. Because you completely have it. No no, no you, no no, no I. Because you have it. You do not aware of your ear. Even though you don't know, you do not aware of your ear. You hear something. When you see something, what you see is something you see outside. But you cannot see your own eyes. So our practice should be like this. You should not aware of your practice. That is, in Hinayana school, that is the fourth thing you will accept. Where there is no feeling of no feeling of mind, no feeling of suffering, or no feeling of joy. You are just practicing without any problem, without any pain. that is the fifth thing. And those, all those ten powers could be this one, could be this one, could be so. But to make our understanding clear, well, so that we can devote ourselves to the true practice, this kind of analysis is helpful.